And we're going to now kind of turn our attention to some of the other things that the symphony is doing relative to families, relative to the whole relative to the whole thing that, that music can do for people. So both of you get comfortable close to a microphone. But I do want to follow up what we're doing here just a little bit, because you happen to be husband and wife, and you happen to have children, and you happen to live right in the district with Holmes Elementary School. And go ahead and get a little closer to the microphone, Bethany. And you allowed us to how you they're what in their first, their second week of school?
Second day
of
we
school.
We live one block from Holmes, and we're really excited. We have been talking with the teachers. We know the principal, and we know Seth, and Abraham is such a great example of the students there and what the teachers can do. And one thing I just kind of wanted to mention, that we've been talking about Music Innovates and why we're at Holmes, and I did go to teach a few times there. And that program and what we're doing at Holmes, I didn't quite understand until I was working with the kids what that meant. What does that mean, at risk? And I overheard students talking about, comparing how many times they had lived in the homeless shelter in the last year. That shocked me. I had never heard anything like that. We hear stories about kids that go home for the weekend and don't have food for the weekend because the school is their source of food. I think it's an amazing school. The teachers there are incredible. The kindergarten teachers that we're so excited about, because our kids are, we have twins and they're five, and they started yesterday morning. And the teachers, the kindergarten teachers there, apparently travel around teaching other kindergarten teachers how to do the job.
Right.
So we're just.
So you feel great with your kids there at that school.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. And so there's that aspect of raising kids. And certainly, when you're raising kids, your focus is on everything. I was just marveling at my grandson singing everything just when I was with him this weekend. And we musicians are so excited when there's a kid that's going to sing everything as he goes along, because we know the deep value of this. And you're both kids at heart. I know you both well enough to do that. But let's move into talking about some of the other things that the symphony does in the Fox. So we've talked about the symphony going out to the schools, but you've been really on the ground floor of creating things that the symphony doesn't expect to. You don't expect an orchestra to be doing some of the wonderful cartoonish, crazy things you do. I don't know. How do we describe this whole overview?
Well, we talked a little bit about when Jorge was applying for his job as conductor. And when I was applying for my job, one of my ideas, you brainstorm like crazy getting ready for interviews. And one of my ideas was, the shows that we put on, they cost massive amounts of money. You pay for the show to come. And so a big chunk of the revenue for the organization goes to this other thing.
Outsiders who come in and bring it. Yeah.
And so it's very difficult for an orchestra to, not only just not make a profit, but to not lose money. And we work very hard at that. So one of my ideas was to have self-produced shows. So if we create the show and we do everything surrounding the show, we're not hiring an outside entity. We get to keep the rest of the revenue and put it into all of our other programs like Music Innovates and maybe for a show that doesn't quite make it balances out.
If I can also suggest, then when you do need skills beyond what the orchestra has, you're using the skills from your own community.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. And so when we started
buy local, they call
it. We are the ultimate buy local.
Yeah.
And when we started thinking about, what types of programs could we do that are self-produced, we just started thinking of all the things that we love. And we love what everyone else loves. And Bethany came up with just a list of ideas of things that could be done. And we mulled over it and went back and forth. And she's I use the word obsessed, but it's like in the most positive way possible.
Well, Bethany, come in and tell us your list, including the things that haven't made it to production.
Oh,
so,
gosh. I mean, Harry Potter obviously is the big one. And then we did Heroes, Villains, and Sidekicks last year. We do Star Wars. We're going to do Star Wars again. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have to be big ticket items, you know, that we, and they have to have music that really goes with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lord of the Rings is another idea that's come to the forefront.
Disney princesses,
you know, things that families can really get involved in. And then the idea is we live at the Fox. The Symphony and the Fox are together. And we have this gorgeous building. I mean, people come and they're impressed with the Fox and then they come in and see a show, but why not become part of the show? Why not make the Fox integrated and have it an integrative experience for everybody, and they can go have fun in the lobby beforehand and then go see the show and really feel like, oh, wow. For this Halloween concert we're going to do, Halloween at Hogwarts, we are transforming the Fox into Hogwarts. We are going to literally build a castle in the lobby. We're working on that. It's kind of complicated. There's all these little pieces. And then we'll have classrooms, and the kids can go and finish their entrance exams to Hogwarts, and they'll get a little glow band for each class. And then the orchestra will be their orchestra class. Wow. We'll have Professor Nakahara. He's a new professor at Hogwarts. And we're even going to be, you know, hanging candles, floating candles over the orchestra and the lobby. I mean, it's an intense detailed process, and I have a long outline and we're working with Civic Theater, we're working with Spokane Ballet School, and we're going to have dancers that'll be Fantastic Beasts dancing and ghosts and Dementors dancing through some of the music, and then we'll have the Civic Theater characters, they will be the professors of the school, and the kids can go trick-or-treat to them and meet them, and it'll be very fun.
And if anybody misbehaves, there'll be a competition for who's crab and who's glass.
Yeah.
There's an interactive idea right there.
Yeah, and
right
then are you going to have gate number 12 and a half or whatever the gate is?
Oh, yeah, nine and three quarters. Yeah, we will have that. And the Founders Gallery, which is the little middle portion between the lobby and the hall, will be Diagon Alley. And we'll have the shops, and we'll have the Leaky Cauldron Pub.
Better beer?
Yeah, we're probably going to have butter beer, and then we'll probably have some sort of apologies potion or something drink. Our bar, head of our bar comes up with some really cool concoctions for that, and then we'll have cool snacks. And I mean, it's going to be the whole thing. We want the kids and the adults that come to dress like they're students at Hogwarts, but any costume is really okay because it's a Halloween concert. Mm-hmm. But it'll be really fun to kind of see the Fox become Hogwarts. I mean, it'll be pretty wild.
And so that's, I can't remember what day of the week. So will that be on the weekend immediately?
It's a Saturday.
The 28th,
yeah, at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Two shows.
Oh, at 6 p.m., 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., but the hall opens early. About an hour and a half, all the lobby activities will be going on before the concert, and intermission as well, so people can enjoy the whole experience.
Now, my awareness of these shows that you've done is that you usually don't have to ask twice to ask the orchestra musicians to dress up.
No, they no. seem to like it. A lot of them really get into it. And we'll have a whole uniform set up for the orchestra, too. They're going to have their ties, and they will have houses selected. And they can, of course, be a character, too. They have the option of either being a specific character or just wearing it'll be something that looks like a Hogwarts uniform, and they'll have the tie.
And
if they don't really want to go all out, but that'll just be the standard. So it's kind of fun. We did that last time. We had the scarves last time. And
this is the second time you've done a Harry Potter thing.
This one we've kicked it up quite a lot.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Well, after the success of the last one, you know, we thought it would be popular, but we had no idea what was going to happen.
Mm. We sold out
every ticket in the house, and then
VIP tickets.
We added seats to the stage around the back on a platform. Yeah. And they were the VIP seats.
And those are available
now,
too.
And those also sold really well. Mm-hmm. So it people came out of the woodwork for this show. And it was one of our shows. It was something that we made.
And the costumes were amazing that even the audience members had. They were very convincing. It was really cool.
Wow. So that's so this is happening this year, and that's a great example. So then you always, once you do it and it's so successful, then everybody asks, well, how are you going to top that?
Yeah, I know.
Star Wars,
yeah, that's February 17th. So. Yeah.
Oh, so there's yet another
next
one this year.
Okay. Yeah, I got to start on that outline. That's obsessed with the Harry Potter one right now.
Going for two. And do you conduct both of these, Jorge?
No, Morihiko.
Oh, Morihiko does, yeah.
Yeah, I joke about it and call it the Morihiko Nakahara Show. Because he does so much Bethany creates all this stuff around the show and all the interactive stuff, but when the lights go up, it's Morihiko. He comes out. He's just amazing on the spot. You know, just he can carry a show. Yeah. You know, it's very well designed. Yeah. But at the same time, he just grabs it and goes, and he makes it polished and within a split second.
He wears whatever I want him to wear too. It's
yeah,
really funny.
That's the best
so
part.
You're dodging a bullet there. Right?
And so those are the two biggies that you're responsible for and that you're in the middle of. Then you do a few other things over the years. You've done film scores. You've conducted some. To some films, haven't you?
Yes, I have the opportunity to do a lot of the films, it's been really, really fun. Mm-hmm.
The hardest one ever. I was speaking with a conductor that's done almost every film known, and we did the City Lights, it was a year and a half ago.
City Lights, yeah.
And the Chaplin movie. And it is, apparently, it's the hardest thing to conduct in the entire world.
Am I allowed to say that I had probably nightmares with it preparing for it? No, but it was really, really, really fun to do it.
Yeah. So. And you did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The many aspects of that. Wow, that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? Of kind of those things that you're doing. Well, let's now you created another tune for us, and the Parks and Rec. So tell us about kind of why you picked this tune and what part of your lives this represents.
Well, it's in the spirit of having fun. You know, that's like kind of our conversation today, a lot of it. And Bethany, we both love the show Parks and Rec with Amy Poehler. And the theme song, Bethany noticed, like, oh, that's all like oboe and clarinet and snare drum. And so she found the music, and we arranged it for just clarinet and oboe.
And we've sort of tried to create some of the snare drum effect. You'll see it.
We don't have a snare drummer with us, we're just making it up. And
I'm not that adept with my feet, so I can't.
The world premiere performance. Well, we'll send you to the other room for that, and thanks a lot. Once again, Bethany Scheff and Dan Cotter, she the oboist, he the clarinetist, and they were telling us about all of the innovation that they do to create the shows, including the Harry Potter show coming along on October 28th. But they're back in the studio for the world premiere performance of the theme from Parks and Rec. So let's go back to the studio for that. We need one more time through. It happened too fast. From our studio, Dan and Bethany playing the theme from Parks and Rec. So thanks to Dan and Bethany for what they did. A few other things that the Spokane Symphony Society does has to do with their Fox series, apart from the Spokane Symphony, and that's a family series that includes the Underwater Bubble Show on October 13th, Peking Acrobats on January 24th, and the Rockin' Road to Dublin on March 10th. And so those are 7 o'clock shows so that younger children can go along to them. So that's a few of the things that the symphony is doing relative to the idea of children and families. So again, thank you.